I don't know now. You're supposed to be dead, right? I like to see dead men walking. That's what I like to see. Right? If you're a dead man walking, then I know you're alive in Christ. Amen? Amen? Hey, Scott, I always say I'm going to do a short teaching, but this one, it will be, if I say it's long, then it might be short, right? Amen? I don't know. Are we repenting right now? But you have to understand that right now, there's a lot of activities that's going on since you've been born. This world has changed. You know, through the times when I was born, there was a lot of people that went to church. There was families and everything else. But as time has progressed to these times now, the devil's been busy. He's been destroying families. He's been taking the father out the home so there's no protection. You know, the system was made this way because the devil is not stupid. He's very cunning. He'll give you opportunity. I'll give you an example. Back in the 50s, black people were Republicans. And then all of a sudden the Democrats came and brought up this thing called welfare. And when they brought the welfare system out, they took care of the mothers and the children. They told the father he could not stay in that house. So they knew that if the father was released from that house and could not take care of the children that he wanted to be with, and you got to understand, at that time, it was hard opportunity for the man to get a good job. So all these tension was coming, so it was a plan to destroy the home and then weaken the family. So, you know, it started from there. Now it progresses because the enemy is not satisfied by one culture. You know, they planted all the dope in the cities and I just remember when the people just come from the suburbs and come in the city and get the dope. And we will feed them. But you know, the enemy don't care what color you are. He just needs a little to take much. And that's all he wants is to plant a seed in a little. Now our government has been planting seeds and having been planting experiments with our military and everything else and destroying people. But the enemy knows that, and he used specific areas to destroy people. Some places where you don't understand where it's at, it could be something small. But by the time he's done with it, it's destroyed. Can I get more on this mic, please? Yeah, please. Thank you. So, it's like within our temple. If we give place to the enemy, just a little bit, he'll take everything. Because he's very subtle. He's very cunning. You don't even know that he's there because he's so subtle. He comes in with a little bit. Nothing much. And by the time it's over with, you wonder what happened. You wonder why you're in the state of mind that you're at. Sometimes people go crazy. Some people get suicidal. Some people just walk in unbelief. Because the enemy stole all the belief that they had in them. The teaching tonight is about the unbeliever. Those who once believed and don't believe no more. I've seen a lot of y'all come into this program damaged, hurt, messed up, didn't know what tomorrow was, didn't know which way you was going. And when you came here, Pastor had his arms wide open. Really it was Christ using Pastor, because he used people, you know that, right? If you look in his Bible, who did he use? Through this whole Bible, who do you use? People. He needs people. He needs a body to work with. That's what he needs. He needs your body. He needs my body to work with. But it got to have something called belief to provide the service, to cooperate with the plan, to spark a fire in somebody else's life, to bring hope where there is no hope, to bring, to build up faith where there is no faith, to kill the doubt that's in them, to bring, to sustain a belief system in them. The only way that comes is through discipline. No discipline, no order. Amen? Everybody okay? All right. I just want y'all to understand, there's a lot of chattering going around through the camp. And you got to understand something. As we was worshiping, the Lord was showing me, you know, they worship with my mouth, but their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are far from me. Because they show an outside appearance, but on the inside it's like stone. When you try to talk to them, they reject your words. They reject my words from me. They don't even know that I'm using certain people to minister to them, but they can't hear me. Because they're looking at the person and not the spirit. See, a carnal individual can't understand the spiritual things of God anyhow. Because a carnal mind is carnal. It's about the world substance. But when you come into the spiritual things of God, it's beyond the things of this world. And you got to look at things differently than how you see it. That's how come we struggle. Because it's different. It's a whole different way of seeing things. You know, the one thing that's different is the word says the last shall be first. How that supposed to be? When we all in the world, it seems like the one that gets first gets the prize. The Olympics and everything else. You know, we got these game tournaments and everything. I won! I'm the champion! Really, the champion is the last person in the kingdom. The last person. The one that will look out for his brother, not to kick your brother down and try to get over him so he can get the reward. That's how it works in the kingdom. It's different. It's not how the world works. All right, let's go to Hebrews 3. Yeah, I got a little cousin that runs, and he's number one in the world in the 220. He's supposed to run in the Olympics, but because there's an epidemic that happened, they had him winning gold because he's that good. And I had other ones, too. I got a whole bunch of people in my family that are track stars. You know, I was a track star, too, running from the cops. True story. Sometimes ran so good that I felt my feet kicking my butt. Seriously. You can't tell now because I'm at this age now, but when I was young, I was movable. I look at Isaiah and say, I see you. I see you. And I look at Pastor. Pastor runs like, when I met Pastor, I say, okay, I see how he ran. He runs like a deer. He's swift. He's quick. And he can move. Well, you know, how these young boys run from the cops when they got their pants sagging down. I can't see. See, that's what the understanding I can't see. The world has become dumb. Everything that used to be where you thought that would be how you see things that would be make sense now has become backwards. It's like back in the day when they called that group Crisscross. They wore everything what? Backwards. Plants were seeded back then. Amen? Hebrews 3, verse 7. For all you hip-hoppers out there. the word says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trials in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their what? Hearts. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. When you see yourself going out of bounds and get angry, check your heart. I had to check my heart a few times last week. I had to check my heart this week. I'm ready to choke people. Yeah, I wasn't ready to choke people. But I had to check my heart. I had to get myself back in order and see the true vision. I couldn't allow myself to get swayed out of vision. Because the enemy likes to put things over our eyes again so we can't see but as far as our nose. Amen? And they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath. Now, you know, my son asked me, Dad, because I was reading this to him, he said, Dad, what is wrath? I said, that's when somebody's very, very, very angry and they won't turn back. Hey, ask these questions. They shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Because when tonight comes, no man can do anything. So while it's the day, while you got light in your eyes, you have the opportunity to do what needs to be good. Righteous. Not good, but righteous. Because when the light goes out in these eyes, your night has come. And this body can't do no more. Amen? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Now, he was talking about the Israelites, but you got to remember, imagine the Israelites back then. They saw signs, wonders, and miracles. They saw the Red Sea open up. They got food from heaven. They had God's presence right before them. He had what? Fire by night, cloud by day. He put new, he had sand, they gave him sandals that lasted 40 years. Come on, man. My sneakers only last about, what, a year? Huh? Hey, I would make big money if I had sandals last 40 years now. Well, this man should be billionaires. But as I'm saying, but they saw signs and wonders. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I see a miracle in this room. Each and every person in here that came in here, y'all had no hope, no future, no plan. You didn't even have a desire. You really wanted to just lay down and die. But as the you learned to be disciplined as you was crying through your discipline and fighting and everything else. Change came. Hope came. Faith came. Desire of wanting to do good came. Your hearing start being opening. Your heart start pumping a different beat. And you start walking a different type of walk. And most openly, you start speaking another language. They saw miracle signs and wonders and still went astray because they were not listening. Stony hearts gets in the way. You can't hear no more because now you say, oh, I heard that before. You know, just like when I was young, I used to hear, Jesus is coming. And after a while, it gets old. Yeah, I heard that before. But Jesus really is coming. The day is closer than the day of yesterday. So each day we wake up, we are a closer day of Jesus is coming. And you know, a lot of people understand, Jesus don't have to come. If you die, you're in his presence. Or out of his presence is where you choose to be. It's a choice. They can't let go to believe within their sin. They have a thought pattern that paint an image. So your thought pattern as you think of things. You see it as you desire to see it, but it's not the way that God sees it. Because God says that we're supposed to think like this: peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. If it's not God speaking and showing you something, there's something else there. So must give to the Lord. You must give everything that you have that you're struggling with and give it to him and let it go. You know, in the world, they say, let go and let God. We're at True Ministries. We should know to let go and let God. Because we've been disciplined since you walked in that door to know how to let go. Because you brought in your junk. We said, you can't have that. We got to throw that away. You can't have that. You got to throw this away. Some of y'all know that, right? Because we know there's boundaries. We know there's some cursed items that you don't understand about. Well, I like this. No, no, you got to get that out. It's destroying you. It's killing you. The worst person to see is the person that's in it. When the person on the outside can see much clearer than what you can see within yourself. Amen? Everybody okay? Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. If you hold on to something else, then you don't believe, and it's deception. So as you're trying to hold on something that's not of God, you don't believe. Because you think God's best is not good enough for you. And now you'd rather fall into the deception state of the world again. Because the enemy's not stupid. He'll just throw a little thing out to you and come on, come on, come on. See if he can get you. Because that's what he does. He doesn't stop just because you're here. He does more because you're here. Because he don't want you to be here. Because he don't want you to know who you really are. If you get into a battle so much, you could miss God. If you stay struggling and fighting God and don't want to do it, and be, it gives you into a rebellious state. And it brings witchcraft. It's one of the fruit of the spirit of pride, which is producing unbelief. People have a tendency to hold on to old memories. And they won't let them go. Because they say, man, I had so much fun back then. Really? You was going, hell's gates was wide open. And it was calling your name to get you right back to get you right into hell. Because if you had died in that state of mind, that's where you would have went. Right to hell. You know, I had to think about some of the things I used to tell people when I get angry. And I just say, go to hell! Ooh. I had to repent about that stuff. Because hell is not the place that God desired for each of us to be at. But we have a tendency to have the desire to go there. Because of the choices we make. Amen? Let's go to Colossians 2. Unbelievers, this is a message to the unbeliever. Because we all have doubts once in a while. Something comes in, but it's our job to get it, kick it out quickly. We have to kick it out. Because if we don't, it ain't going to leave unless you kick it out. It'll stay there. It'll marinate. It'll make you a nice steak for the enemy. How you want it? Charlie be over there and say, how you want it? You want it rare? You want it medium? Or you want it well done? Because you know they eat off of our what we do. They eat off of anger. You ever met somebody that's angry? And feel the energy that comes off of it? You could feel the energy that comes off of anger. So what you think the enemy's doing? Eating. Eating. Making a good meal out of it. And then when he's hungry again, he just poke it again. And bring it right back up. To eat some more. Colossians 2, verse 20. So it's our job to keep peace. And you know, people could be angry at me all the time. You know, I had people used to tell me, David, I can't stand you. And you know what I tell them? I can't stand myself either. Why do you think about total freedom? If I could stand myself, I wouldn't have to be here. I can't stand myself. I get tired of this flesh. This flesh would be talking all the time. David, what you do? Man, shut up! I say that to myself. Hallelujah. Then I have to tell y'all, shut up. I don't want to hear that. Hallelujah. Because you got to understand, it's hard enough that you got to fight your own battle. But then when you got to fight other people's battles too, and it's the responsibility that God put on you, you have to do it. And you got to do it in love. And sometimes love is not ooey, gooey, gooey, gooey. Sometimes love is a slap in the back of the head. Is it rescuing you from the pit of hell? Because you're not listening as we speak softly. So we have to come in the natural and come back and then come back into the spirit. Because you're still on this earth. Amen? Colossians 2:20 says, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concerns things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and the neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. I told somebody today, I said, you know what? If I went to a dead person and I poked him, he wouldn't say nothing. But if I came to y'all, I'd poke you, you'd be like, hey, don't be doing that. That's my funny bone. You'll feel it, right? But dead people don't hold on to anything. Regulation of the world has to be, you says that you have to be somebody. You're already somebody in Christ. You're the son of the Most High God. You have to prove nothing to nobody. All you got to do is prove God that I'm right here to do whatever you want me to do. I don't need to do anything else but what you telling me to do. If what you put before me each day, as you provide that for me, I finish that. Okay, I made a little mistake. I got angry and everything, but I repent, Lord. But I'm going to get up and move on. I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to keep that baggage on me. I'm not going to allow that suffering to stay upon me. I'm not going to live in the puddle of affliction. But I'm going to get up, stand fast on the faith, and believe that what you have for me is the best thing I could ever have. So we don't need to be promoting ourselves either. Because, you know, the word says that God will reward you. If you just do what's right, God will take care of it. And, you know, and you through your sufferings, he's changing you. He's bringing a change within your thought pattern. Because how many, I don't put your hands up, but how many of us have seen God move in our life when we thought that he wasn't? And we've seen miracles happen that seem like no man can do. It would seem like it was impossible, but he turned it around. See, the world can't pay you enough for that. The world can give you finances to buy a home, buy a car, buy this and buy that, but it can't give you true peace. It can't give you true joy. It can't give you sleep at night when hell's going on around you. Anybody had hell go around them and you still got some sleep and woke up? and you bright and shiny, and somebody walk by you in the disciple house and say, what you smiling about? Hallelujah. That happens, man. You come up about a bunch of family, there's different personalities here. Everybody was brought up differently. Some people was brought up in love and some people wasn't. But God is trying to change everybody so they can all come into love. So if you can love yourself, then you'll know how to love someone else. And you'll treat them the way that you want to be treated. That's how God is trying to work us to be. Because if we're trying to go out to the world and minister to the world and be bitter to our brothers and sisters, we're not no use for the kingdom. Because we're a hypocrite, because we're telling the world one thing, but in the back door we're doing the same thing as the world's doing. Unbelief produces a belief in false doctrines and produces fear and not faith. That's what unbelief does. It produces fear and not faith. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15:36. We're in a state right now that a lot of people are looking for something. That's come. They're running around doing virtual realities. They're trying to get out this world. They're going to these programs that are taking them out of the natural realm of this world and bringing them to an unbelief system. And they fantasize through these systems of how they want to live. These virtual realities is a main one. You see people screaming, they on the roller coaster, and they're just standing there. But the system make them feel like they're on the roller coaster and they're going down. Crazy. I'm telling them quick, don't put that in my eyes. I'm closing my eyes. Why? I told one person, I said, why'd you just close your eyes? Can't you do that? Can't you close your eyes on the virtual reality and you don't see nothing? Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36. Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless you what? Die. Life of Christ cannot be manifested in you unless you die to yourself. So the life of Christ you can't walk in this thing unless you allow that seed to die in the ground and allow the Holy Spirit to water it so that the seed can die so it can bring life. Now once that seed brings life, depending on what type of tree it is, now it can bear fruit. But as it's bearing fruit or whatever tree it is, it has to be purged. It has to be cut off to grow properly. And as your life is, you got to get purged. You got to get some feelings out off of you. You got to get some cuts. I'm going to tell you, change don't feel good. Because when change comes, something got to get cut off. And that's when we go, ooh wee, that hurt. Hey, it hurts. And that world says no pain, no gain. They mean that. And no pain, no gain. If you don't go through no pain, that means the devil's sitting there comfortable with you. And he's sitting right there. Say, come on, let's chill out in the cut. Let's just sit back and watch everybody. You ain't got to do nothing. That's right. You have to do nothing to get to hell. Come on, just chill out with me. Just go to church. Raise your hands. Go home. No serving. No praying. No seeking the Lord. Just chill out. You say when you get in God's presence, you'll be with him, but you got to fight to get there. And then when you leave there, you got to fight to stay there. Because your walk is your worship. It's a daily thing. 2 Thessalonians 2. Unbelief. Unbelievers, man. Unbelievers can take you away from... I'll put it this way. You have an unbeliever that everybody's is chilling, doing the things of Christ, and you have an unbeliever come up to you. And he brings the cloud with him. There's thunder and lightning with the cloud, and you're in a sunny day. And then after he leaves, and you're not really dugged in into the anointing, then you're walking in a misery state. Because the word says misery likes what? Company. So you got to be careful about being around misery. Somebody that's miserable. If they're not taking heed to the voice of the Lord, don't waste your words. Because God's words are precious. They're jewels. You hold on to them. You wait till the opportunity time. That's where patience come in. You wait till the opportunity time when they're able to receive the word. Don't force it down their throat. Because it won't do them no good. Matter of fact, it'll bring harm to them more than helping them. Because it'll push them away. Amen? But I gotta! No, you don't. No, you don't. Because now you'll be upset and then frustrated. Now the enemy got both of y'all. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Everybody there? The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all powers, signs, and lying wonders, and all with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be what? Saved. And for this reason, God will send them what? Strong delusions. That they should believe the what? How many times people like to believe the lie? Man, you say a lie long enough, guess what? You'll believe it. That's when you gotta be careful about who you associate with. Because if they keep lying to you, the next thing you know, your mindset's going to change into believing that lie because you heard it repeatedly. It's like a repetition that's going on. You're like a computer. Your brain's just like a computer. It takes intakes of information. So if that's imparted into you many, 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 many times, it's going to come over to where it's going to tilt and say, okay, maybe you might be right. Got to be careful with that. You can't be listening to all these lies, like the news, man. I know that President Trump is going to be president, but the news say that this is happening, and I'm like, well, maybe, wait a second. I know this ain't true, because all the lies are out there, and there's people that have ministers, that have churches, good people, but in deception, because they're listening to something that they don't know. It's a lie. And then they bring their congregation to believe in that. You ever met a Democrat? I go out there all the time and meet Democrats. They walk in fear. Okay, let me ask you this. If you're walking in fear, where's love? Where's love? If you're in fear, where's love? It says you're supposed to cast out fear. Because you're supposed to have love in the what? A sound mind. You can't have a sound mind if you're in fear. Then what comes is doubt. What brought that will bring doubt and unbelief. Because now you don't believe that God is who he say he is. Because the God on the throne that say he can heal diseases and everything else, now you question it. Because now with the false lies, they tell you that, you know, this many people got the coronavirus, this many people died in the hospital. This is all lies. But when somebody gets sick, they'll label that with the lie because they died with that. But it wasn't that they died with that disease. They just put the label on that. So people walking around now with fear, with helmets on and zoot suits with helmets on and everything else. And we live in a different age now. I look around now, I say, I'm looking like a sci-fi. Because last year to this year, It's totally different. You used to go to people and you could shake their hand and hug them. Now you come to them and they're running the other way. That's fear. So there's no, if there's fear there, then what happened is truth has walked away. Because truth can, it don't associate with fear. They don't go together. It's like oil and oil and water. It don't mix. Verse 12. That they all may be condemned what did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Now, his word, voice, and counsel, the lawless one does not follow. So the lawless one does not follow his voice. It does not follow his word. And it does not follow his counsel. So that's how come we're living in a world right now full of lawlessness. There must be a place where you want to love the truth. Because deception is a fantasy. Amen? That's what deception brings, is a fantasy. And it'll take you away from the truth. And now you're right back into going to hell. Because your soul, because as you walk on this earth, your soul is in hell. If you're not part of the truth. Because your soul is your what? Your mind, your will, and your emotion. So if your mind and your will and emotion is not a part of the kingdom, then you're part of another kingdom. So you're walking on hell on earth. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 1. Everybody okay? We there? All right. Finally, my brother, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. What is the will of God? Your sanctification. That you should be abstained from what? Sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in passion and lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarn you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. But concerning brethren, love you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love what? One another, not to lust for one another, but to love one another. We need to be separated from self. You have the power of choice. You have the power. God gave you the power of choice. To separate you, sanctification means to step apart from the things of the world. So if you don't separate from the things of the world, then you're still part of the world. There's no gray areas. Either you're in light or darkness, there's no gray. I'm sorry, there's nothing about shadows. Dark shadows. It's about being in the pureness of God and holiness, or in darkness with the enemy and darkness. So be mindful of these things, because the enemy likes to sway and play games. And, you know, our fleshly beings, we like to play games too. And when we get caught up and we see something we like. You know, if it's not for you, don't do it. Don't do it. Because all you're going to have is burdens. Trust me. Then you'll be like this. Man, I shouldn't have done it. Why I do it? Come on. Been there, done that. That's old news. That's old stuff. Don't do that stuff, because all you're doing is putting a burden on you that's not yours. You're picking up something that's going to destroy you. The word says that if you go into bed with a woman like that or a man like that, hell is there. You're going to associate with the demons that's there. And now you think you had enough demons? You want more? Go ahead. I'll tell you. I'll give you a ride to it and leave you there. That's what you want. Get your fill of demons. Get your bowl of demons, a cup of suffering. Amen. Matthew 10. All that sneak peek and everything else. You know, I'll be driving and see these guys be peeking. Ooh, look that girl. And what you going to do with her? You should be praying for her. I see a fine woman. I go like this. Lord, I lift her up. Lord, I lift her up. Get her, daddy. Because I know she's taking a lot of men to hell. Get her. So she can be a vessel for your kingdom. God loves her too. God loves everybody. He just wants everybody to cooperate and be right with him so that he can expand his kingdom, so his kingdom can reign and glory can have its place within us and through us and around us. Amen? Let God build the house. Let him do what needs to be done. Let him instruct you. Let him put you in position so that when you're ready, he'll have something available for you. Because you're not ready for it, and you ain't going to. I'm going to tell you something. Marriage is a whole different being. You got to be disciplined to be in marriage. Because you're dealing with a different person that lives a different lifestyle. Us boys did boy stuff. Girls did girl stuff. You got to bring that together and make oneness of that tangible circle. And the enemy likes to play with that. You got, like the word says, us men have to learn our wives. That's a hard thing to do because women always change their minds. You got to learn your wife. Amen? Everybody okay? All right, Matthew 10:32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemy will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. How do you deny him? Do you know how you deny him? By not cooperating in his character. His character is everything. The character of Christ, the divine nature that we uphold onto. Every decision has to be made for him. your response will either be cooperating with Christ or denying him. Let me repeat that again for you. By not cooperating with his character, every decision has to be made for him. Your response will either be cooperating with Christ or denying him. That means you have to work for the anointing. Because we're stewards of the anointing. Those who believe. The unbelieving don't understand that. They still think that Alice Crowley way. Do as thou wilt. Do anything they feel like doing, and I'm still a Christian. That don't work that way. God has boundaries to protect us so that the enemy can't destroy us, so that we can be able to do what needs to be done for his kingdom. Because we're here to expand, not to diminish. Amen? Amen? Psalms 37. Psalm 37:1. The word says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Because your heart will become like his heart. And he can trust you with that heart. Because it's a heart of cooperating. So now he said, now I know your heart's like mine. Now I can plant this into your life. I can plant that into your life. I can give you this here. I know you wanted to do something, but I got something better for you. Much better. This is going to blow your mind. Come on, get your mind back, but this is for you. That's what God does. He does far beyond what you can think or fathom. He does the impossible. Where you think there's no way, man, there's a way. He's the God of possible, not impossible. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light. And your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently in him. Do not fret because of him who prosper in his ways, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Cease from anger. Cease from anger. And forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. It only causes sickness and diseases. Amen? Now, you got to understand, as you're going through this, these areas, God is putting you through a trial. And in the trial that he's bringing you through, it will bring it to pass of the things that you need to go through. So that when you get to the end of it, you'll see what God has did for you. And you'll be appreciating, saying, thank you, Lord. Because sometimes the path that you want to go to, and when you're the path that God brought you through, and then you look back and say, thank you, Lord. You saved me from the path that I wanted. I was about to get destroyed. I can put both my hands up on that one. Hallelujah. And by being at total freedom for all these years, I've seen people leave. I've seen people go after their own visions and everything else. And I've seen the destruction that has happened in their lives. And it just made me be grateful that God got me where he planted me by living waters and supplied me, freshened me, kept the anointing going. Even when I didn't feel like it, he smacked me. He spanked me. He got me right. Keep on going. He never gave up on me. As long as I was trying to cooperate and get right with him, he won't give up on you. You just keep on fighting to keep doing right and being right. He won't give up on you. And if you go astray, he'll come after you. But if you deny him and have a stony heart, you can't hear him when he's telling you there's a freight train coming. Get out the way. And you walk right into the tunnel and and the light coming, you thought it was the light of the sun, but it's a freight train about to knock your socks off. Because you see the light of the tunnel is the wrong light. Amen? The more endurance, the more it will build up your faith. So the more you endure, the more faith comes to you. Because you got to understand something. Endurance is a faith builder. Because through your suffering, you can see the hand of God moving in your life. Because a lot of us, when we go through suffering and it's painful in our lives, we used to run to the drugs and alcohol. Now we don't run to drugs and alcohol. We run to the Most High. So guess what? Now we become mature in Him. Because we don't run to other places no more. But we run to Him. We ask Him. I don't know about you, but there's times when I have to cry to Him. I'm not ashamed to say I cry to Him. Soaking wet, tears and sobbing. But I'm not crying to somebody on the phone. I'm not calling to my next door neighbor. I'm going to my source. I'm giving my heart. I'm releasing every pain that I have because He understands. He understands because He went through the suffering. He did it for me. So He understands. So that's why He said, learn from me. Learn from me. Don't let go. Fight for me and I'll fight for you. Jeremiah 7:17. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. The word says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by waters, which spread out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. That means trouble. When trouble comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to his fruits of his doings. So if God is testing your heart. He's testing the fruit. He's testing everything that you got. There is a blessing that's entrusted in the Lord. There's a blessing. There's a reward. When you trust in Him, it might not feel good in the process. It ain't supposed to feel good. You know that, right? It ain't supposed to feel good. Because we're in the time that everything got to feel good. You know, the commercial shows you, here's this Mercedes right here. It's got all these buttons and you can be comfortable in your ride as you go for it. Here's a nice couch for your house that you can sit in your lounge and sit back and you don't have to move. You can sit and watch TV all day and have no aches and pains. That's what the enemy wants you to be. He wants you to be comfortable. He wants you to sit back, chill up in the cut. That's how we speak in my neighborhood, so. And just do what you gotta do. Do my thing. I'm comfortable now. I made it. We never make it. There's always going to be a battle. There's always going to be a fight. And when you think that you overcame that fight, there's another one waiting. You know, Pastor made a teaching called Trust, Rest, and Wait. You have to go through the seasons where you go in the wilderness sometimes. And through that wilderness, that's when you're being tested. It's going to be a dry season. You're going to feel like nothing's working, nothing's going your way. But God is just wanting to see if you're going to use what He's taught you so that you can get through the wilderness so when you come to the other end, there's a prize waiting for you. And then when you come through that prize and you get the reward, you give it back to him. Then he'll push you right back out there and do it again. Because it's a consistent battle until we get home. There's no place for rest only in him. Amen? 1 Peter 5. Then I got one more scripture. So wherever you were struggling out in your unbeliefs, you just tell that demon, get the hell out of here. I bind you up in the name of Jesus and now go to hell. All right, let me find 1 Peter. Come on, Pete. All right. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Where it says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he's seeking, he's looking, he's seeing if who, where you going to touch and agree at. He's looking, he's searching. He's a spirit. He does not sleep. So while you're sleeping, he's cunning up things for his next attack. So when you wake up, he got all this stuff to bombard you with. And sometimes he visits you in the night season because you didn't break anything off that you dealt with yesterday. Or the day before yesterday. Or last week. Or even last year. And he comes and visits you in your sleep. And makes it feel so real and tangible that you believed it. Because you want to accept the lie. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So this ain't happened just to us. This is happening all over the place. We're not the only one going through it. You're not the only one suffering. You're not the only one that got to take the garbage out. You're not the only one that got to wash dishes and keep the house clean. At least you got... I mean, your house is, at least you got somebody to wash the dishes and somebody to cook your food and everything else. I go home, I gotta do all that. But I was disciplined through the structure of the discipleship house. When I came through the discipleship house, it helped me to learn how to be a man again. To know how to run my own home. To know how to take care of my own house. To take care of the things and immediately be taken care of. To be responsible to come home. Be responsible to be the husband I need to be. Be responsible to be the father I need to be. It all came through discipline. Because before, I was a wild man. I didn't have no boundaries. I had to learn the boundaries. To become a godly man. And it wasn't easy. But it was easy. Anybody could do it. I had to fight for it. And I had to learn. I had to take correction. I had to get some direction. And I had to have counsel. I had to go through the things that needed to be done so I become who I know that I had to be. Because nobody else is going to do it for me. So I had to fight for my own life through Christ. Nobody else. But Christ, I needed real truth, not a lie. Because a lie was going to take me right back where I came from. May the God of all grace, who called us to the eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you. So you cast your cares unto the Lord. And he will fulfill his promises to you. Stay in the spirit because the enemy will always try to promote fear. And that will promote more fear. And that will bring captivity. Yeah. The captivity you just came out of Because fear on fear brings captivity. You're back into the cage again. And you don't want to go there no more. You can, hey, how many of y'all seen where you was going at, but you couldn't stop it? Because you allowed it to come too far. Because you got cut off at the head in the beginning. Don't let it sit there. Because you don't let it dwell. Because it'll get you. And it won't feel good. Romans 6. Says that you should kill that stuff before the sun goes down. And he don't care if you're female or male. When you stand before God, he's going to say, what did you do with this body I gave you? What did you do with it? Did you do what I asked you to do? Because you know, for us, it's a worse reward. I mean, it's a worse punishment. And let me correct that. It's a worse punishment if we didn't fulfill what God has us to do. And we go to hell, our punishment is worse. Because we are supposed to be teachers in this room. Yeah, it's too late. If you came in here one day, 2 weeks, and you left out here, you're still accountable to be a teacher. Because you've been taught the word. Romans 6:1 says, what shall I say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized in his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaved in sin. I got this. How many times we think we are dead, but we're not? Newness of life is letting go of your past. That's the newness of life. Letting go of your past. Because we live from the present to the future. Not from the present to the past. So our newness of life is letting go of our past. So every day we wake up, we're supposed to have a forgiving heart for each and every person. We're supposed to have love in our hearts. Even though it might come back again, you just keep on plowing through. Because you have to have the mind of Christ. You have to have the character of Christ, and you have to have the power of the anointing to break through everything that's before you. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for your word and your truth. We thank you for the blessing. Lord, I ask that as we go about, Lord, that let our belief be more than our unbelief, so that our unbelief will not have a dwelling place within us, so that your glory may shine upon us and that we may be the character of what you create us to be and the divine nature and how you want us to go forth in this world for your glory. In Jesus' name.